coming to you from the City of the Weird. Exploring topics from the esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm. Well, hello everybody, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 7 of the Curious Realm. So glad to be rebranded with this show and be bringing on the guests that we've had on the show before, but bringing them on and exposing them to a whole new realm of people, a whole new realm of community that have come and joined us lately on Facebook, all kinds of stuff. Stop on by and check us out on Facebook, folks. Curious Realm is the group. That is where we post all kinds of stuff, news, conversations, everything else. Some of the news of the week is what we start out the show with every week. Out of defenseblog.com, U.S. Air Force flies surveillance unmanned aircraft over the Black Sea. Out of Futurism, FedEx asks permission to install anti-missile lasers on its cargo jets. Shannon Caffey, a good friend of the show, has posted a fantastic video about some of the uncovering the cover-up of the Route 91, not only shooting, but the aftermath and the horrible, horrible play on the hashtag Vegas Strong that happened that left hundreds and hundreds of people without victims' funds. Out of the independent.uk, Tesla travels 1,200 kilometers on a single charge with a breakthrough new battery. And at a KCRA.com, a 555.55 carat black diamond believed to have come from outer space landed in Dubai. That is just some of the news of the week that we bring you every week right there on Facebook. While you're online checking that out, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm, folks. Curious Realm is where you can find all of the episodes. That's where you can find all of the upcoming events, things that we're going to, like the upcoming Bigfoot Conference in Mineola, Texas, where we'll have a booth doing interviews. Things like the MUFON Symposium, which our guest, our first guest tonight, Sev Talk, will actually be the MC at, coming up in Denver in July. We've also got the Knowledge Vault there. In addition to that, we've been quietly testing it in the background, but we are officially live. That is right. Not only live on Facebook, we have a lot of people on our Facebook group and in our Facebook page who tune in there like, hey, is there anywhere else other than like the typical Facebook or YouTube that I can find this? Darn tootin', you can find it right there on Curious Realm, folks. Curious Realm / WP stream / live will get you there. And we are always streaming right there, which means that if you download our free app available at curiousrealm.com/app, you will be able to tune in directly on your mobile device. So you don't even have to be sitting in front of your computer or dialed into a form of social media to check us out. We are there for you, and soon we'll have a 24/7 live player on that page as well that'll just be randomly cycling episodes. You kind of have to have 24 hours worth of content before you can really realistically do that. I don't know, I guess it's just the old radio producer in me that's like, you know, I really should have 24 hours of content before I say I've got a 24-hour live stream. But that is shortly coming. So stop on by, check it out, curiousrealm.com. While you're online checking that out, make sure to stop on by our guest's website, planetsev.com. Sev Talk is our first guest. She is an alien experiencer. She is the author of the amazing book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens. She is one of the first authors that we actively got on this show. Whenever we started interviewing authors of this type, things like that. And we're having her on tonight because, of course, like I said, she will be not only emceeing the upcoming MUFON event in Denver, but she is also a MUFON fielding investigator. And I have been wanting to have somebody on to talk about MUFON field investigations for quite a while. So welcome back to the show, Seb Talk. How are you?
Hello, Chris. It's a pleasure to be with you again and your listeners. Thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because I connect to guests through different platforms. You're one that we've always connected through the same way. And whenever I went on today, it was like, man, has it already been a year since I've had Seb on the show?
Wow.
Like, it just, it blew my mind on the platform to see, like, it's been a year since we chatted. It was like, wow, that really just kind of flew by. Catch us up. There has been so much that you have been involved with, not only in the UFO community and the disclosure community, but in the community of esoteric spirituality, as well as the MUFON community. So catch us up on everything, Seb, that's been going on over the last maddening year across the...
All right. Let's see. The last year... I've been still conducting soul purpose sessions that I do with clients around the world, still doing interviews around the world. And I have been offered a wonderful opportunity to be the master of ceremonies at the MUFON International Symposium this summer in Denver. I am very honored and very excited. I was also on a Canadian TV show. I was featured in one of the episodes. It's a docuseries. It's called UFO Encounters. And I am in the episode about physical contact. And it also features my friend Terry Lovelace. And we talk about our experiencers.
Awesome.
It also has Preston Dennett and Alexis Brooks and some others talking about ET contact. I have my YouTube channel, Alien Spirit TV. This year I'm going to put up a lot more videos. On social media, Instagram, Facebook. I have a newsletter. I've started my second book. And what's been keeping me really busy, busiest of all, is talking to experiencers around the world. So I help
We seem to be losing you a little bit there, Seb. If you could repeat that for us, please.
To my website.
Wow, you just went crazy there for a second, Sev. If you could, repeat the last 30 seconds for us. Wow.
I have had some really
interesting audio issues in my day, but never once have I had it where it sounded like somebody's voice was being fast-forwarded back to the point of conversation. That was wild. So... We were talking about the Canadian TV show with Terry Lovelace, talking about all the fantastic stuff with MUFON coming up.
Yes. Okay. So the Canadian TV show and yes, I'm really busy with helping experiencers around the world. So experiencers can contact me through my website, planetsev.com. And there's a portal in there called Tell Me Your ET Story, and it's confidential. Tell me your contact story, and I will respond to you, and I will help you as much as I can. And beside that, I also help experiencers through MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, which is the largest UFO organization in the world. I'm a field investigator for North Carolina, and this year I became a member of the Experiencer Resource Team, which is made up of about 55 people from around the world. And we deal specifically with people who've made contact.
Wow. And now when When you say made contact, Sev, in what classification of contact? Because of course, as some may know, some may not in the audience, there are many classifications of quote contact with extraterrestrial species. You know, close encounters of the first kind, second, mm-hmm. third, fourth. Precisely what kind of contact are we talking about here as we get into this conversation?
Well, for the experience or resource team, it's people who've made contact with a alien being and who has either been shown something or given information or been in the spacecraft, told about the hybridization program. There's a lot of different scenarios. With the field investigation, that's mostly people seeing lights in the sky or ships in the sky. The field investigation work doesn't really get into the face-to-face ET contact like the experiencer resource team does.
And that would make sense to have a different field team working on different aspects of things. Once things mm-hmm. hit a different level, that it gets turned over. Mm-hmm. Now, how did you mm-hmm. become a part of that experiencer team?
Well, when I first became a field investigator, it was something that I was interested in. Kathleen Martin used to head the experiencer resource team, also known as ERT. And she and I have become friends. She's been a big help to me in my life and a mentor. And she was telling me that she thought I would like being on the experiencer resource team. So we have to be a field investigator for a little bit. I had to get, I think, about a dozen cases, 10 cases, and then I could apply. Well, before I applied, they reached out to me, Experiencer Resource Team did, and asked me if I'd be interested. And of course, and I was interviewed, and I was accepted. And basically, what we provide is just a non-judgmental, supportive ear. We're not here to really provide any answers. We're not here to explain things. We're not here to validate anything. We just give you the opportunity to tell us what happened. And we can share with you our personal experiences, too, to help you. And sometimes I talk with experiencers for years or months. It's rarely just a one-off. It's rarely just a one conversation.
Well, and I guess at some point, I would suppose that, A, being an experiencer yourself actively helps open that bridge of communication.
Yes. Yes, because I can identify with much of what they're saying.
Well, let's start getting into some of the cases that you have actually come across. I mean, of course, we can't get into names or full situations, things like that, because mm-hmm. you want to protect privacy and, of course, want to guard as much of the investigation as possible until things are done. Mm-hmm. But what kind of situations have you come to see during even your short time on the experiencer team?
Well, there's quite a few of them. I can tell you about a couple.
Please.
Well, this one actually came as field investigative work and then went into the ERT. So I was first given the case of this gentleman, a young gentleman who lives in North Carolina. I live in North Carolina. I live right on the water on the Inner Banks. And so most of my cases come from North Carolina or the states around it. And this gentleman was driving to work. This was in the Farmville area of North Carolina. I was driving to work. It was around 5 a.m. in the morning, and there aren't many cars on the road. And he looks in his rearview mirror, and he doesn't see any cars really in behind him or even in front of him. And then he notices on the left side this triangular craft slowly coming over the tops of the trees and then coming over his car. And he can see it very clearly. It's huge. It's blocking out the stars. And he picks up the phone and he calls his girlfriend. And he's talking to her while this craft is going over him.
Oh, wow.
And he has seen UFOs before. So it didn't freak him out because he's seen them before. But it was very large and it was very quiet and it went right over his head.
Wow.
So then 2 weeks later, he has a baby. His wife has a baby. And he falls asleep on the couch. And he's awakened by this being, this silvery star being that is walking, floating towards him, carrying a baby, which is also like a star being. And they're getting closer, and he can't move, and closer and closer, and then he doesn't remember anything anymore.
Wow.
So the question is, why did he see a star being carrying a star being baby right when he had a baby? And what's the correlation? Is this the hybridization program? Is he a hybrid? Is his child a hybrid? Is he a star being? It brings up so many questions. And he was a believer of the hybridization program. He didn't think too much of it. And of course, we now know that there are a lot of babies and a lot of children these days that are very unusual in their abilities, also in their cognitive abilities, and also in their spiritual understanding. Some of these kids seem to develop very quickly and are very wise. And he does have a little girl that is way ahead of her years. So it could very well be that he is involved with the hybridization program.
Wow. Now, for our guests that may not be familiar, let's get into the hybridization program real quick and what that concept is.
Okay. I can just tell you my experience with
sure.
it. And my experience with the hybridization program involves the Grays back in around 2012. I was shown a baby in a tube, and I drew a picture of it. It's in my book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens. And I was in this dark room, and there was this tube in front of me that was a little taller than I am and about as wide as I am. And there's liquid in this tube, and there's a baby floating in the tube. And the baby's eyes are open, and they're the brightest blue eyes I've ever seen in my life. And even though the leg of the baby was positioned such that I couldn't tell its sex, I knew it was a boy. And then I felt that there was something behind me. So I turned around and there were three Grays, tall, medium, and short. And this is before I even knew that they come in various sizes. And they telepathically said to me, they were very nice. They said, oh, take your time, take all the time you need. We'll just be sitting or we'll just be standing back here waiting for you. You know, just go ahead. Everything's okay. And I turned back around and I looked at this baby and I was really confused because I felt nothing for yeah. this baby. And then, ding, the next thing I know, I'm wide awake in my bedroom. And I didn't tell anybody that. I just hid that. I didn't tell anyone. Back then, I wasn't out. I had not come out. Well, about 4 years later, I was in Roswell, New Mexico, with my ex-boyfriend. And we had an incident where the Grays came, and they gave me information about the hybridization program. And they reminded me of the baby in the tube. And they said that in their race, they pretty much annihilated their ability to express sympathy and empathy. And if you can't do that, your race is going to die off. So they are in a hybridization program with humans, splicing and dicing DNA, to create these beings that are very loving, very empathetic, very sympathetic. And there are millions of people in the hybridization program, most who don't even know it. And there are billions of these embryos. And these embryos have been designed so that they're very loving. And a lot of the humans that are involved are involved in this program because they are loving. They tend to be very kind people. They tend to be people who are helping others. And they also tend to have a more than average psychic or paranormal ability. This isn't all the people, but this is most of the people who are involved in the hybridization program, from what I was told. And I was also told that it's not inevitable that we're going to kill ourselves off. Mm. It's possible. It's possible, and it's not too late. But if we do, then these billions of embryos would be used to reseed this planet.
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a lot of experiencers who are being given information about the hybridization program, who are being told they're involved in it, and who are also being told that they have hybrid children. And some experiencers are shown these hybrid children. I was shown two hybrid babies that were very, very sickly. And this is where we might enter a my lab situation or MILAB, a military lab abduction, which I have conscious memories of. Because I was handed these two babies by this human man in a lab coat, and there was a human nurse in the room. And the babies were swaddled so much, they had so much fabric around them, all I could just see were their heads. And they were crying and coughing up blood. And this human male doctor in the lab coat wanted me to put my hands on the baby and heal them. And it also felt like I was getting my final test. And so the first baby I did, and I put my hands on it and tried to heal it. It was coughing up blood. But they brought me another baby, and this baby started to roll off the table. So I grabbed all its fabric that it was swaddled in, and then I saw its body. Because his head looked normal, looked like a normal human, but his body did not. It was like skinny, skinny neck, skinny arms, skinny body. It freaked me out so much. And then I'm back into 3D reality. I don't remember anything after that.
Wow.
And so there are experiencers who've told me that they've met their hybrid children. They held their hybrid children. They talked with their hybrid children. They could feel a bond. And there's something we're understanding important. These grays are understanding that for this embryo, not all of these embryos are being allowed to grow into children or people, but the ones that are, it seems to be a very important step in the growth of this hybrid child to be able to connect with its mother.
Wow. Now, mm-hmm. you yourself have had numerous contact experiences, which is what led you to write the book, You Have the Right to Talk to the Aliens. You yourself were actively marked in your experiences.
yeah, that's a good way to put it, actively.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, there are
it
a lot of people
me, I'll tell
that,
you, that.
You know, even when it comes to demoniac possession, spirits, things like that, there are a lot of people that make claim to these injuries, Sev. There's a difference when you have an indelible permanent mark on your body from it.
Well, it did go away. There were two of them. There were two X's, and they did go away. But I have yet to hear from an experiencer who has an ex like that. So far, yeah. I have not met anyone. Even Kathleen Martin, who I first went to for help because I freaked out, told me that she hadn't seen an ex either.
And with that ex being put on you, not once but twice, I said, you had more than one experience. Was it the fact that, because, you know, you belong to a lot of the same communities I do online. There's a lot of people out there that are like, beam me up now. Come Come take me now, please. Remove me from the madness here. I want to go to the enlightened place. Was it the fact that your first experience was a happy experience, Seb? Was it a good experience? What was... did things change for you over time with your experiences?
Well, that's a good question. My first conscious memories are from when I was age 10. And a being would come to me in a craft for a couple of years. And that was a happy experience because that being that resembled a human male, but it was a little different. I was so happy to see him. It was like seeing my brother. Very, very, very happy. And that lasted a couple of years. And then there was a final goodbye, which was very sad. And I was with a group of other children, which I had never been with before. And when we just watched him fly away, I just realized, oh, I got to do my work now. But I didn't know what that meant. And then I would find myself back in fifth in my bedroom, and then I'd have to get dressed and go to fifth grade, sixth grade, and I'd just forget it. And now, decades later, I'm starting to realize what that work might be. And so that's from the age 10. I got these red X's on my tush in 2017. And so a lot of decades went by from age 10 to 2017. And in between all that time, I did continue to have contact. A lot of it happening around 2010, 2011, when my marriage ended and I was living on my own in an apartment. And that just seemed to open the doors, and a lot happened. And so since then, it's been pretty busy, and I've come in contact with a variety of different beings. And now I feel very safe. When the Greys first contacted me, I was very afraid of them. I've been in contact with them a few times. And like when they put the X's on me, that was back when I thought the Greys were horrible and evil, and they were making fun of me and just toying with me and aggravating me on purpose. But now I realize that's not the case at all. In fact, they're helping me. I'm very grateful for their help. What? So there's been a huge movement in my mind as to who the Greys are and my relationship to them.
What was it, do you think, that at what point did that pivot happen for you as far as your relationship with their visitations, your reaction to their visitations?
It was the two exes, because then I couldn't deny it. I mean, that's like the rug of life was just yanked right out from under my feet. And I'm like, okay, this whole entire lifetime of mine, I've been trying to hide this, and it's real. It is absolutely real. So what am I doing at night hanging out with ETs? Why am I hanging out with them? Why are they putting X's on me? Who am I? Who are we? And we're not being told the truth. Yeah. And that's when everything changed for me, for the better, because I decided to get help. That's when I met Kathleen Martin through MUFON. And with her help, I allowed myself to process decades worth of experiences. And then one day I woke up and I decided to write a book. And then shortly after the book came out, I was invited to be a speaker at AlienCon in Baltimore. And that
I recall
was
that.
Fantastic. Yes. And that's when I realized, my gosh, there's so many people seeing UFOs and having contact. And I realized that's what I want to do. I want to help experiencers.
Well, and like I told you before the show, I cannot think of a better advocate to be out there as a member of a response team like you're talking about than someone like you, Sev. You have a heart as big as Texas, and such an incredible understanding of this stuff. Now, we had a listener and community member who has asked the question, were you initially communicating? Were your communications initially physical communications? Were they were they straight up visitations that were physical, or did they happen through psychical telepathic means?
Yeah. Oh, I love that question. Thank you for asking that. Both. And that's a really great topic that I would like to talk about,
because
we're seeing a shift from people having 3D experiences, like the typical experience driving down the road and then you have missing time, or you're camping, or
the quintessential.
We're seeing a shift from that to more of a consciousness aspect, to more of a interdimensional experience that's happening in multiple dimensions. And this is fascinating to me. And we're also seeing that people are making contact in these states, in these different states, in this, these different strata of frequency. And they think they're dreams, but they're not. They're real. And so one thing that I do a lot is to help experiencers distinguish between a real experience and a dream.
You can tell the difference.
You can tell the difference. Once you're ready to admit it, the difference is really easy to identify.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because our second guest tonight, we're talking about specifically astral travel, the good things, the bad things, you know, and it's one of those that it's interesting that you bring up the fact that more encounters are starting to happen like this, because much like I ask Lindsay later, I'll ask you the same thing. Do you think that it is something that it's because people are reaching out more, you know, and is that an advisable thing necessarily to be reaching out more? You know, the same way that Stephen Hawking was like, sure, send messages out. What are you going to do if they show up? And they, because, I mean, you know, we posed with Jared Murphy a couple weeks ago. Like, think about any messages, except for perhaps direct messages going out telepathically, things like that. But think about it, if they were just scanning the frequencies and happened across our transmissions, think about what you would think about us, Sev. If you were just like rolling down the road one day and randomly this stuff came up on your radio and all you see and hear is war and politics, everything out of context. You have zero context of what humanity is and what we're driven by. But all you see is what we have transmitted, audio and video wise. That would be a really messed up way to just like a slice of a pie to see a society by, and a humanity by, globe over, you know?
Yes, and that's what prevents a mass landing right now, because that would turn it very violent.
Yeah.
So why is there a shift in the experiences moving from 3D to multidimensional? I think experiences have always been multidimensional. It's just now that we're starting to focus on our consciousness and our multidimensional reality, that we're starting to become aware that we are having experiences in other realms. At the same time that you and I sit here, you and I are also having experiences in the other realms. And so it's, I think it's a combination of people becoming more aware, and so the paranormal senses or the extrasensory abilities that we have kick in, and some of us are also more focused on strengthening our psychic abilities. And I actually have a new online class about strengthening your psychic abilities, which I had a really fun time putting together. And what was I saying before that? about the experiencer. Oh, okay. And so it's a combination of the awareness, and it's also a combination of ETs, beings that are in contact with us, can see our growth, and they understand and very clearly see how we are maturing and how we're spiritually blooming. And so it could very well be that as more and more and more of us are seeking ET contact or contact with otherworldly beings, they are showing up. And is it safe to communicate with an ET? Yes, it's very safe. In fact, on my YouTube channel, Alien Spirit TV, I have a few videos about how you can channel or you can connect with otherworldly beings, and I have meditations in there to help you do it too. And the most important thing is, what is the energy that you're radiating? Yeah. If you're radiating a lot of fear, you're going to align with beings that also radiate with fear, and that could be an experience that is not comfortable. If you're radiating a higher frequency, you will come in contact with beings of higher frequency, and your experiences will be much more loving and kind. So it's really important to look at, what vibe are you sending out? Mm. It's not just through the dimensions to the other worlds, but look at your life here, and you can very clearly see what kind of vibe you are radiating by taking a good look at your life. Yeah. And your fulfillment level and your friends and the quality of how you live.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got the CE5 app on my phone from Dr. Richard Greer. I've been wanting to get him on the show to talk about it because I think it's a very interesting concept, the whole idea of mass meditation for a specific end of communication, and the fact of, let's get together in a group so that this witnessing is not done by a solo person, but rather the whole group being together. What do you make of things like the CE5 app, stuff like that? Have you seen that or had any experience with it yet?
Well, I haven't been to a CE5 yet. I've been invited to a couple. There's one a few hours from me here in North Carolina that I'd like to go to. But I'm a big proponent. I'm an advocate. I think they're wonderful. Of course, mass meditation works.
Sure.
It's just energy. And I'm all about CE5s, and I look forward to the day that I go to one. I do not have night vision goggles. Do you? Do you have night vision goggles?
Oh, I'm working on it, Sev. I have more than one tool. I mean, you can see my Geiger counter behind me over here. I've got all kinds of RF detection equipment because of my job as an audio technician. All kinds of stuff. But believe me, night vision is high up on my list. That and metal detector. Got to have a good metal detector for these things. But I've got like tri-field meters, magnetometers, all kinds of stuff. Like
I already have everything that goes into a MUFON field investigator's kit.
Believe me, I have considered taking a course, because Texas has become a hotspot. Texas is, I want to say, like the second largest within the 50 states for MUFON reports.
Yes, it is. Every month on my Facebook, I post the top 10 states and the top 5 countries with the most reports to MUFON, and Texas is in there often.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got a pretty active group on Facebook. I'm a MUFON member. I don't think that we have an Austin chapter. I think San Antonio is the closest. But we did have a question from another listener, from Laura McNear. How do you feel this ties in with starseed origins, especially whenever you're talking about the hybridization program? Is it something along the lines of, that is the source of starseed children, or is it more the fact of starseed children are more targeted for the hybridization program?
Oh, that's good. Hi, Laura. Thank you. Well, what exactly do we mean by starseed? It's a term that we use very loosely now. Is starseed a being that comes directly from another galaxy and doesn't have any human DNA in it? Or is a starseed a hybrid itself? It depends on your definition.
Yeah.
So I don't know Laura's definition. I believe that we all have ET DNA. We're all star seeds. Mm. We're all from the stars. And some of us have activated our ET DNA more than others, and some of us have more ET DNA than others. And I do talk about, I make videos, I write about activating your DNA so that you can raise your frequency, which then allows your higher frequency DNA to activate, which then makes it easier for you to align with your purpose and to find peace and to strengthen your ESP and paranormal abilities. Basically, when you activate your higher frequency DNA, you do tend to be a more content, a happier, a more dynamic person. I think we're all capable of activating our ET DNA. Like I said, some have more than others. So I don't know if I answered Laura's question, because starseed means so many things to so many different people. But those are just some of the things that we think about. What exactly is a starseed? What's your definition of a starseed? And also, are humans purely human? Are they 100% Earthlings?
That's a question in and of itself, because of course we just kind of sprang. It's interesting. We talk all the time on the show about how there seems to be a religion behind modern science. It's hilarious because of how long religions persecuted science.
Yeah.
And now it's as though science is infallible. Mm. And it's one of those that's like, you know what's funny? I've got an astronomy book from when I made an A+ in astronomy that lists Pluto as a planet. Yet still my son's planetary chart that came out a year and a half ago probably doesn't have Pluto as a planet. So, obviously, you know, science is supposed to flex. It's supposed to change. And it's supposed to be willing to change on a dime if that's what things show. Laura actually mentioned the fact that you nailed that for her. So, thank you so much. We love being able to answer people's questions in near real time.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. It really does help that. And I think a lot of people have that question right now, Sev, especially with everything going on in the disclosure community, everything going on with disclosure in the media, whether it's full disclosure or soft disclosure, however you choose to see it, there is definitely something going on that the consciousness of this is shifting.
Mm-hmm. It's nice.
It's great. It's same here. And it's funny to me because, of course, it's one of those, like, some of us have been saying these things for years, Sev. I'm sure you as an experiencer have been saying these things for years. So it's kind of like, well, thank you so much for finally catching up, everybody.
Kind of caught up.
Not quite, but fully.
It is pretty cool that you can have a UFO report on your nightly local news now and nobody really bats an eye. That is really extraordinary.
Well, not only that, but it goes beyond the local, and that local story will be picked up by the national affiliates now.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily run as like a Well, before we go, here's Rocky the Squirrel in another story. You know, which is what it was for so entirely long. You know, like there's the water skiing squirrel. Now hold on through the commercial because we got another weird story. Then the weather with Ron. And now, thanks to people, and granted, thanks to people who have been working tirelessly for years, the likes of Linda Moulton Howe, Kathleen Martin, just to name a couple, Jeremy Corbell, Lou Elizondo, those kind of folk, that this thing has kind of come out into the mainstream, and it's very interesting to me how it's not only become so mainstream, but now very rapidly there is a Pentagon office to look into it.
Weirdest name. I can't even remember the name. Yeah. Do you remember the name of that ridiculous name?
Yeah. It's hold on just a second. I can bring it up.
It's a whole bunch of letters.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely interesting. The airborne object. Yeah. Let's see. Identification and Management Synchronization Group. There you go, folks. IOMSG.
Yes, airborne object IOMSG. Identification.
It's IOMSG. AOIMSG.
OIMSG.
That's classy. That's classy. Yes, the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group.
Okay, so why did they do that? You know, they did that on purpose. Why do you think they gave us such a silly name?
Well, I mean, I think that management synchronization group, I think, is a big key there. Whenever you see that, because it's one of those that's like, okay, this goes beyond any level in and of itself. It's an all-encompassing group.
Yeah.
From all sides of the armed forces. Because, I mean, not to discount anybody's experience on the Nimitz. Not at all. Not the pilots, not anything. But there were a lot of weird things that happened there, man. When you're talking about one branch of the military coming onto the vessel of another branch of the military and taking the black boxes off planes that don't belong to them, you know, there's just a few things like that that are like, wow, that's really, really odd. And would not be a typical practice where it's like an admiral or commander on an aircraft carrier would just let the Air Force on to come and take the black boxes off their jets. But that's what happened. So weird things like that. So whenever you see these offices pop up, it's really one of those, like, the Space Force was no secret. The fact that it was being built and set up for years and years and years, you know? And the thing that I've held on this show the whole time, Sev, is that what we are seeing is absolutely disclosure, most definitely, because the next realm of technology that is coming into our reality right now is sourced from that. Now, is what we're seeing extraterrestrial? Maybe. More than likely, it's some extreme technology that's been reverse engineered and taken to the next level, or as far as we can take it, and it's being tested. Which, once again, still disclosure, but it's disclosure from the side door with the means by which to patent a whole bunch of stuff and make billions of dollars.
Be it
for the means of war or, hey, you know, this is next fiber optic network, what have you. But literally the only way to explain the next leap of technology that will be available is where it came from.
That's correct. And that brings us back to my lab, because in MILAB, it's either my lab or MILAB, Grant Cameron says it should be MILAP, so I'm going to call it MILAP. It brings me back to the MILAP experiences because the government knows who's in contact. They know.
Oh, sure.
And so they're poking at us for information. And that's what these MILAP experiences are. It's information. And what they want to get from us, and I have determined this from my own experiences and from speaking to other experiencers. By the way, Melinda Leslie is like the queen of MILAP. She is probably the person who has the most information about the MILAP. If anybody wants to look into Melinda Leslie.
Absolutely.
Who is, yeah. And okay, so what the kind of information that the government is looking for and asking for and coercing sometimes from people, experiencers, is information that has to do with technology, information about the future, information about paranormal abilities. And also information about spirituality, because we're getting information just about every single experiencer that comes in contact with an ET gets some kind of beautiful information about how we're all one and we're all autonomous at the same time, and to follow our hearts and to love as much as possible. And the information that we're being given does not really uphold the way we things are run on Earth, meaning the information that we're being given makes us feel like the government is controlling us like sheep, and it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And so this information, the spiritual information that we're getting, is not information the government wants us to have because it's empowering.
Yeah, it's kind of that quote, freeing from the matrix moment, you know, so to speak. Now, we had another listener ask about alien DNA, Rh negative, things like that. What do you, especially in regards to the alien hybridization program, is there anything that is specifically looked for with that? Is there any showing proof of alien DNA through MUFON investigations or anything like that?
Oh, that's such a good question. You mean has anyone identified ET DNA?
Yes.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I wish. One day it'll happen.
Someday.
Yes. And as far as the Rh negative, I don't really know that much about it, other than I know that it's talked about. It's not the only sign that someone's a hybrid. I think there might be, in my personal opinion, maybe too much focus placed on that. Did I answer the question?
I think so. What do you think, at least from your investigations and things that you've done thus far with MUFON, what seems to be, I guess, the biological profile of a contactee? Have you been able to come anywhere close to that yet? What is the generality that you see amongst cases?
Oh, that's good. It's biologically, no, we haven't done any biological tests, but we do. There are some markers, so to speak. For instance, there are many commonalities between experiencers. And if you're listening and if you can say yes, or if you've had any of these experiences, it could be experiences. It could be well that you have made ET contact. For instance, a lot of experiencers have missing time. They wake up in the middle of the night to beings in their room that they might not be able to see, but they can feel them. They can feel their presence, or they can actually feel them touching them, or they can feel them walking on their bed. Another one is sometimes reoccurring dreams or nightmares about alien abduction. Marks on the body, not just the X's I had, but scoop marks are very popular. I remember looking down on my wrist once, and there was a scoop of skin missing.
Oh, wow.
No blood at all. No scab, nothing. So I'm looking, and this is back when I was in denial, and I'm looking at this scoop of skin missing. I'm like, when did that happen? How did that happen? Why is there no blood? Why didn't it hurt? Because, you know, a paper hurt hurts like hell.
Yeah.
And I have a scoop of skin missing. I didn't even feel it. Also bruises. Some of the most common places for bruises and cuts and also geometric patterns to show up are in the thighs, especially of women. On the forehead, I have seen triangular marks stamped right in the middle of the forehead where we think the third eye is. Also on the arms, on the legs, on the ankles, on the wrists. Sometimes also on the back, but that's much harder to find. So those would be the most common areas where there's physical signs of contact. Mm. There's also alien implants that people have had. I don't know of any definitely that I have. I mean, I had strange little things like under my skin that move, but I can't say they're alien implants. Sure. Also, nosebleeds, that's pretty common. If you wake up in the morning and your nose is bleeding or there's blood on your pillow. Another thing is becoming more psychic, like we talked about earlier, more psychic after ET contact than you were before. And also, do you have just this weird fear of ETs? Most of my life, I had an unexplainable fear of grays. You know, Whitley Strieber's famous book, Communion, has a picture of that gray on it. And I could not look at that book. I couldn't look at that book at all. And I couldn't watch a movie about grays. I couldn't read any books about experiences or abduction. Nothing. Like, I read and saw nothing. It was too much. And so if you have that kind of irrational fear, that's a sign.
Hmm. Interesting. And you were one that you had paranormal experiences very young. It was not something outside of the realm of your family to have experiences or even to be open to talking about these experiences.
Yeah.
Especially in your home country before you moved here.
Well, in Turkey, I can't say they're more accepting than the U.S. Mm. I have found that Canada is pretty accepting and England is pretty accepting. I found that through the interviews that I've done and also with the experiences that I've spoken to.
Not necessarily more accepting, but more accepting of the fact of, okay, something strange happened.
A belief in the paranormal.
Sure. Yes.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that, Chris. Turkish and Turkey people. Do you know that I usually go to bed around 10 o'clock?
You're the best.
It's 10 o'clock and this is when I usually go to bed. Okay. So I'm drinking coffee. Okay. but yes, Turkish people and many people around the world, except for Americans, do believe wholeheartedly in otherworldly beings.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not something that's strange or out of the ordinary, or if you hear a kid talking about it, that the family's like, what's up with him?
Exactly. That's right.
Hey, even my son, as of late, Sev, 4.5 years old.
He's cute.
Thank you. He's a scamp, the little one. But man, when he comes in, when he comes in at 3 a.m. and he's talking about the screams.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even joking. When he's like, yeah, the screams woke me up again. It's like, the screams? What are these screams you're hearing at 3:30 a.m, boy?
What are they?
Yeah, I've been working with him and trying to coax it out of him, and it, so far as I can tell, like he's people that sound like ah, and it's like whoa, who are you hearing?
That's interesting.
Because I have no doubt. I mean, you have heard me say it before on this show. I have had my own experiences, and the whole reason I talk about any of these as openly as we do is because mm-hmm. we have to talk about them. We have to be willing to talk yeah. about these odd things that happen. And for mm-hmm. me to just call my, even if he is 4.5 years old, for me to just dismiss what he's saying.
Oh, no, he wouldn't do that.
He has no reason to. He has no, at 3:30 in the morning, waking up as groggy as he has no reason whatsoever to be making up a story.
Oh, no. And at that age, they're still connected. I mean, they're much yes. more connected to the other worlds. Uh-huh.
Well, and before we let you go, Sev, let's talk oh. about that real quick. Let's talk about that connection, because we answered Gene's question earlier about was it physical connection or psychic connection, telepathic
yes, thank
style
you,
connection.
Mm-hmm.
What can people do to, once again, our guest coming up after you is all about astral travel, the do's, the don'ts, you mm-hmm. know, much like I love the idea of the CE5 app. Is everybody adept enough at meditation to discern good from bad, from what portal they may open or what entity may come about?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the question that I would like to leave you with tonight, is how do we learn to discern that with our experiences? How do we learn to discern, was my experience that I just had, I don't think any experiences for the bad. Let's get that clear.
Because
you're always going to learn something.
I agree.
But,
yes.
but was this a good entity that I just had an experience with, or was it something in the guise of a good entity that is there to perhaps find a portal in, to find a way to harvest negative energy or mm-hmm. enable negative energies, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. So first, as I had said earlier, it's really important the frequency that you radiate. The higher your frequency, sure. The better you're going to align with other beings of higher frequency, which are loving and kind. And like I said earlier, if you really do want to make contact with ETs, and if you really do want to raise your frequency and activate your interdimensional DNA, I do have videos on my YouTube channel. They're free, helping you do that. And I also have guided meditations at the end that are very helpful. And people have made contact using the guided meditations and listening to these videos.
Yeah.
And also, please know that you are in total control when you are in communication with another worldly being. I did have an incident with an astral man in black, which was very scary. And it was very negative and very powerful and very strong. And it felt like it was trying to just take over me. And we had an energetic battle because I knew that I'm in control and it is not. And so it was a battle. Like I was fighting because it felt like it wanted to come inside of me and just grab my essence and just suck it out of me. And it came because I had a friend who was visiting and this was attached to my friend. And when it finally understood that I am serious, that it will not win, it cannot take over, it left. And I realized after that, if you do not know that you are in control, and if you do not know that it's what you say, and if you don't want to talk to a being, you don't have to, it is very, very easy to succumb to some of these negative energies because they're very strong.
And, absolutely.
Excuse me.
No worries.
And forget that you're in control. That's really the number one thing. You are in control. If at any moment you feel uncomfortable, you just stop the communication. One thing I do is I always ask, do you have my best interests at heart? But really the most important thing, I can't say it's the most important thing, but it's how you feel about the entity that's going to give you your answer. Not so much asking, do you have my best interests at heart? It's going to say yes, but how does this entity make you feel and go along with that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those, if you walk into the party on a Friday night and it just feels like you don't need to be there for some reason, you should really listen to that. Doesn't matter who you came with or why you went there, man. If you walk through the door and like your belly button just tickles the wrong way and you're like, I don't know why I'm here.
You know, that's a good analogy. Yes, I've been to parties like that.
It's such a true thing though, Sev.
Yes,
like who hasn't walked into a room and gone like, where'd that shiver come from? You know, and at that point, just keep on going. When you get that shiver, pay attention to it. Be open to it. Be open to the fact that you may be wrong, people, and that it may not be a situation that you want to be involved with, and that's okay. You said, Sev, we are in ultimate control of that experience. There is nothing that can necessarily... And now, before we let you go, I, of course, want to allay the fears of those who have had the full abduction experience, Sev. The frightening, horrible abduction experiences that you read about, where they never seem to find a point where there's relief for them personally or emotionally, you know, and there are quite a few experiencers out there who bear a lot of emotional scar because they have not come to the realization that what's going on may not be the frightening experience that they remember.
That's right, Chris. That's so true. It all has to do with your perspective. And I had changed my perspective from hating the grays to loving the grays. Mm. And it all had to do with my perspective on myself and my view on life. And I played a victim. I was always the victim. So when the grays came to me, I assumed that I was their victim as well. And it's not until I lost the victim vibe that I started to see the truth.
Interesting.
So it's definitely your lens of perspective, how you recount what happened to you or how you view what happened to you. Mm. Just like on Earth, it's the same thing.
Yeah. We talk about that with so many guests, Sev, and to hear that mirrored in this conversation, that because we have quite a large... targeted individual community within our listenership and within our online communities. Quite a few targeted individuals listen. And that is the advice that I've heard from numerous people whenever they have asked questions about how do I stop this? A lot of it is stop giving them the mentality to feed off of. You at some point have to be the one to step outside of the circle and break the cycle in order to move forward.
The cycle of your perspective?
The cycle of your perspective, the cycle of a victim mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, like you were saying.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot of people cannot get past that. And cannot get past the fear to get to the point of enlightenment necessarily.
It's important.
And they may be sadly seeing it through the lens of previous real life 3D experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was not so happy for them. How do they begin to find that healing, Sev, through your teachings, your lessons, your videos, things like that? Mm-hmm. How do you help people begin to find that road of viewing these ongoing experiences in their life in a different, more enlightening and empowering way? Because like I said, mm-hmm. for you to go forth now, with your experiences, with what you wrote in You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens, in your years of experience, to be going out now and being an advocate in these response teams with MUFON, to being an advocate as the MC at the MUFON conference, I think is absolutely amazing and beautiful and right where you should be.
It
really is the fact of you have done a lot, I think, to guide people on that path to understanding their experience in a different light.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you said that so nicely.
Thank you.
Well, that really is the beauty. If I could just say one last thing, that
please.
ET contact can be the starting ground for a beautiful spiritual blossoming.
Mm. And let everybody know, before we let you go, we've got your website up real quick. Where can they
Thank
go
you.
To sign up for lessons? Where can they go to sign up for your newsletter, which is amazing? I love the newsletter.
Thank you. Thanks. I just released one today.
Yep.
So thank you for showing my website there.
Always.
If you look up on the top, you'll see if you're interested in a soul session, there's soul sessions right there. If you want to tell me your ET story, go to ET Encounters right there, ET Stories. My Alien Spirit TV has some links there right there to some of my videos, YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And as far as signing up for my social media, you see that there's a tab there. There's a tab for my newsletter.
Yep.
Yeah, everything is pretty much right there. Thank you for going through all that with me. My YouTube channel, Alien Spirit TV, really gives me a lot of joy.
Good. Good.
And I'm going to spend more time on that this year. So folks would just like to go look at it. I would really appreciate it.
You know, Sev, I get asked all the time by people who I was on the road with doing work and doing whenever I was on the road doing conferences, things like that, it was smooth 45 minimum 50 hours a week of work to put on a show. And in addition to that, I would be doing this show at night. And they would always ask me, like, my God, how do you find the time to prepare for all these guests and read things and watch things? Like, I remember whenever we had the guy from Lost Gold of World War II on. I watched both seasons of that back to back twice.
Oh my goodness.
Taking pages of notes to ask Bingo Minerva whenever he came on the show. And he was like, wow, man, I've been on other shows and done press junkets, and I don't think anybody had questions like that.
Oh.
And it's just one of those that, like, I can't not research my guests like that and get into it. This is what I'm about. It's what I
You're
love.
Very good.
So aside from that, you know, it's good to see you out there doing what
you
love and helping change people, mm-hmm. and helping people view their experiences in a not so damaging light, perhaps.
Hmm. Thank you, Chris. So, thank you for everything that you do, too.
Thank you.
Your listenership has grown and grown and grown and grown.
It's been great.
Congratulations,
Well, thank you so much, Sev. One last time, tell everybody where they can go to register for classes, everything else. One last chance for shameless self-promotion before we hop off to commercial break and our next guest, Lindsay Sharman, talking about astral travel, the do's and don'ts.
Yes, astral travel. That's something that I talk about a lot too. And I have this new online course, the Psychic Studio, where I do help you, teach you, give you tips, and offer a guided meditation so you can astral travel too. It's something that we can all do. That's why I created the Psychic Studio. Mm-hmm. It's an online course. It's 6 modules, and you get a module every month, and we deal with a different paranormal ability every month. Clairsentience, there's clairaudience, seeing auras and things like that. And my website is planetsev.com. My YouTube channel is Alien Spirit TV. Please check out the Canadian TV show that I was featured in. It's called UFO Encounters Physical Contact. That also has Terry Lovelace in it. It's done really well. Actually, I have an actress double who plays me, and you get to see her part of her tush with a red X on it. Yes, I have a tush double. That's how far
Wow. The things the Canadian government will back, folks. Literally. Man, Sev, it is always great having conversation with you, getting into these topics. Thank you so much again for your time, always. I cannot wait to see you at the upcoming MUFON conference in Colorado.
Oh, I can't wait to see you there, too.
It's going to be fantastic. Things have not officially gone on sale, folks, but you can find out things at MUFONsymposium.com. It's going to be at the Sheraton Denver downtown, hopefully, right now. I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot in the news, so I think the fires over there have subsided. Things were a little bit crazy over there for about a week.
That's right.
But I was watching that carefully, considering that as an event technician, like, man, you know, the things that'll change the trajectory of a show. So glad to see that there was not a whole lot of damage up around the area and that things still seem to be progressing. And I cannot wait to see you there. I'm so glad that someone like you is emceeing the event.
Aww, so nice. Thank you.
Well, I would say hold the line, but we have another guest coming up. So thank you so much for your time tonight, Sev. We're going to go ahead let you go. We will be sharing links to this with you after things post, everything else. Thank you again, as always. And we'll talk to you again soon.
I hope so. And thank you for everyone who listened and actually wrote in and asked questions. I'm very grateful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sev. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a great conversation there with Sev Talk. Make sure to stop on by. Check her out, folks. The website is planetsev.com. While you are online checking out everything that is Sev Talk, as well as the amazing MUFON Symposium coming up July 8th through the 10th of 2022 in Denver, stop on by the Curious Realm. CuriousRealm.com is the website. We will be right back with you after these messages from our sponsors, folks, with our next guest, Lindsay Sharman, talking about astral travel. We'll be right back after this. With the rise in attention to the health benefits of cannabis and cannabinoids, including CBD, True Hemp Science has become one of the premier providers of full-spectrum CBD and CBD-related products. Using a proprietary spagyric process, True Hemp Science extracts maximum benefit from the whole hemp plant. Buds, leaves, stems, seeds, even roots. Every part of the plant is used and then reused to formulate a rich, complex profile of CBD, CBD derivatives, and terpenes guaranteed to provide the relief and benefits you need daily. Visit TrueHempScience.com to experience the best CBD oils, edibles, and topicals on the market today. And use code CURIOUS7 to save 7% off your entire purchase of $50 or more and get 2 25-milligram CBD cookies or brownies free. That website again is TrueHempScience.com and the code is CURIOUS7. Curious Realm Podcast is your source for the latest and greatest news and events in the world of the paranormal, esoteric, and forbidden knowledge. And there's no better way to spark the conversation than with items from the Curious Realm store. Choose from fan favorites like hoodies, mouse pads, coffee mugs, and more. Buy books and items from your favorite Curious Realm guests. Get your hands on the latest gear for paranormal investigations and experiments we discuss on the show. Open your web browser and stop on by the Curious Realm store at curiousrealm.com/store to buy the latest Curious Realm wear and out-of-this-world gifts for yourself, your family, or a mind that you want to open. That website again is curiousrealm.com/store. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today. And let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training. And use code CURIOUS20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website, again, is PodcastCadet.com. Thank you so much to all of our sponsors out there, Podcast Cadet, True Hemp Science, all that kind of good stuff. We have some fantastic new sponsors coming aboard. We would like to give a huge thank you to our guest, Sev Talk, and her time this evening. It's always great talking with her. I am so, so glad that she has moved on in her MUFON career and gone on to the point of becoming MC for their upcoming event in Denver. I cannot wait to see her there. She is such a raving and awesome advocate for experiencers out there. So to have her out there in the world of MUFON field investigation is fantastic. Our next guest coming up, I'm actively bringing up the Kindle book right now. All Endings Are Beginnings is the name of the book by Lindsay Sharman. How are you doing today, Lindsay? Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's so good to be here, Chris, with you and your fantastic audience, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, let's start getting into things a little bit. First off, let's introduce our audience to you, what it is that you do exactly, and then we'll kind of step into our conversation about astral travel, which is a hot topic that we talk about in our Facebook group regularly, things like that. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Lindsay. How did you come into the field of spiritual assistance with people?
Oh, wow. It's a very long story, obviously. My whole life, I've been deeply spiritually connected and had, you know, different capabilities and abilities and lots of different experiences, from astral travel, as we're going to talk about, to entity encounters, UFO encounters, uncountable UFO encounters. And so these things have just been a part of the fabric of my life. And I've had, you know, multiple shamanic experiences, demonic entity attachments and healings from those experiences. And so all of this kind of just wove together to eventually, you know, kind of lay the call before me to come and serve people in the way that I can help them heal spiritually, emotionally, and mentally from all kinds of those types of experiences. Sometimes they're often very traumatic for people. And of course, as we know, you can find some negative beings out there. And so I do work to help people detach from those, heal from that, and move forward in their lives as an integrated whole. And I'm also have come from a very long tradition of loving literature and writing and reading. And so it was natural for me. I actually became an English teacher in public and private schools, and I've taught abroad and locally and all sorts of settings. And so I've always been a writer. And so I actually have 5 books. And this newest book, All Endings Are Beginnings, is one of my, what I call a channeled book. I don't know if it always matches the definition of everybody else's explanation for channeling, but it definitely came from source, was inspired, and is written not really by me at all. I just sort of birthed it into being. And so I'm very grateful to have done that. And it's a beautiful book that people have found they can use as an oracle. They can ask a question and open it up to any page and receive their answer in that way. Or they can just use it as a sort of God shot, you know, don't have necessarily a question, but still want just a dose of inspiration and uplifting commentary and direction in their life on a day-to-day basis. And so people send me stories all the time that are just so beautiful of the question they ask, the answer, and how direct and really specific it is to their question and how helpful that is for them. And so I really love that. And I'm really grateful to provide all those things to people. And then I also do my show Rogue Ways and Middle Path weekly, multiple times a week. And I have just so much. I could go on for a long time. There's a lot that I do.
Well, and, you know, I find passionate people are typically that way. It's just one of those that when you see a need that needs to be filled and you can fill it, you just can't not do it. You know,
absolutely.
I'm kind of the same way. I had somebody right at the beginning of COVID who my wife and I were taking a couple things off the back burner and kind of moving them to the front burner, and had him come in and help out. And when I gave him kind of the spreadsheet and the overview of our company and what it does and everything else, he was like, wow, you are a serial entrepreneur. He's like, you just see something that you know something about and you can't not do it. So I fully appreciate the way that you are with Rogue Ways, because visiting the website, there is a lot there and a lot to ingest. And even going through All Endings Are Beginnings, like you said, the way it was written and the way it comes across is very easy to ingest, but there's still a lot of information in there.
Yeah, it's very dense and it can address literally any experience that we're having, which is amazing. You know, it's that universal quality. But like you said, it is easy to read. It's written from tone and just I don't know, word choices, everything about it, there's no pretension in it. Yeah. And I really appreciate that. I know a lot of people get turned off by that term channeling and the experience of channeling or reading channeled things, because sometimes it does come across like, okay, so you're this high and mighty, holier than thou. Like, I don't even know what this is. And it just, there's a, the tone of it can really turn people off. And this is much more down to earth. And I think there's obviously a whole breadth of channeling. So I don't mean to put them in a box myself, but I just know a lot of people come in contact with that. And yeah. I like that about this text.
Well, and you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I think much like with channeling, a lot of people get caught up with the straight terminology of things anyway, paranormal, even UFO or UAP. It's like there is an expectation with that. And unfortunately, that expectation, like, may be actively completely contrary to what is actively going on. Like, the fact that you're calling something UFO, you're actively defining what it is. We have no idea what it is. It's it's unidentified. We have no idea what it is. So,
yes. And, I mean, that's...
It's the fact of, you know, even right now in the UFO, the UAP community, so many people are stuck on the fact of what we are seeing on video is alien. Doesn't have to be. It's just unidentified.
That's a lot of what I end up doing with people, too, is helping them understand these experiences they've had and helping them open up that box, just like you're talking about, where, you know, it doesn't have to be whatever you saw on some show or, you know, some movie or somebody else's experience. That could be totally different from yours. And a lot of different things bleed together. There's a lot of overlap between what we call paranormal and spiritual and entity and UFO. And, you know, it's really good for people to stretch out from that.
Absolutely. And it's all processed through your filter of reality to begin with.
Right.
You know, and your filter of experienced reality. We say on this show all the time, like, there's a reason why brothers and sisters growing up a year apart from each other in the same house have totally different experiences.
Yes.
They are individual people viewing things through their own individual filter.
And this is part of why I try to help people in my own teachings. You know, I teach a course called Brighter You. It's a 6-week course to help people understand their own spiritual gifts and abilities. And I do a lot of teaching in various ways. And a lot of what I try to help people understand is, look, it's about you and your experience. And, you know, when I get a message from my guides in some way, they're giving it to me in the way that will make sense to me. And if they gave you the exact same message, you might see it or hear it or feel it in a completely different way, because that's what will get you to the same conclusion.
Yeah.
So when I see a bear holding a rose, I mean, that has some kind of meaning to you. And so, or to me, and if I share that with you, it might have a totally different meaning to you. And so it's not going to come through in the same way for everyone. And that's a really empowering and freeing thing for people to understand, is that it is your specific view. And there's some downfalls to that. There's some pitfalls in that, and some biases and some ego, and, you know, but there's also a freedom. And then you get to play and understand your own way of experiencing.
Well, and let's start getting into a couple things specifically, because a minute ago you were talking about clearing negative entities from people. And we've talked about that numerous times on this show. We were just talking about it last week, and the concept of how much is the evil in the world around us actually just an egregore that we create by our own negativity, you know?
Yes.
Not that there isn't real true evil, but how much are we contributing to that cycle? You know, kind of the whole Freddy Krueger aspect of, if you stop being afraid of Freddy, he'll go away.
Yeah. Oh, it's very, very similar in most cases. Most cases of people's entity or dark energy experiences are much more about their own psyche, their own damage, their own sort of dark places. Mm. And so a lot of what I do when I do ceremony for people is I go into what I call ceremonial space, and I see what's going on. And I think I think probably 90% of people want me to come back from that space and say, yep, you've got a demon. That's why everything in your life has been going wrong. And probably only maybe 10% of the time do I come back and say, yeah, there's a conscious, intelligent entity that's attached to you or, you know, attacking you. It's actually much more rare than people think. And what's much more likely is that our own unexplored psychological and emotional traumas are what's causing these experiences that seem to us like evil. I mean, they would seem evil. I love there's this, have you seen the show? Is it Lock and Key? I think it's Lock and Key. Yeah. And there's, you know, the girl, sorry, spoiler alert, but it's from the last season. So hopefully it's okay.
Spoil away, Lindsay.
The young girl has this experience where she takes her fear out of her own consciousness and kicks it out. It comes out and it's this horrible, you know, wretched thing that's like hissing and screaming. And it's actually pretty dangerous. And she kicks it out and then she's fearless and she has all these good experiences. Well, that fear now runs around in the real world as an actual, you know, dark sort of entity. And it's a good metaphor because we are like that, right? We tend to say, okay, this part of my life was too difficult. It was too painful. I didn't really want to deal with it. I pushed it aside. I pushed it away, or I cut it out completely and pretended like it never existed.
Yep.
Well, that still exists. You cannot get rid of a part of yourself. Yeah. You cannot ignore a part of your experience.
That's
and
right.
So that's still sitting there waiting for healing and reintegration. And that process of experiencing that and even of healing it can sometimes feel very scary, very dark, very other. And so we do this a lot. We see this a lot in a lot of the healings that I do. But even that, you know, it's a beautiful experience to be able to understand that the power of your own psyche, mind, emotional, and intellectual sides of yourself. And then to be able to reintegrate them and how truly transformative it is. You know, I say to people, if your lived day-to-day experience isn't different after what you're doing with a healer like myself or any other, they're not really worth anything to you. You should be transforming your life and having new experiences and having new, you know, perceptions and a just brand new healthy self. And that might take time. I'm not saying instantly you're perfect, but if you're not transforming, it's really not doing its job.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like if you're not questioning things, are you breathing? You know, like you should be questioning something about your life, your reality, or your place with them both on the daily, you know. And the day you stop questioning what you believe, why you believe it, really start examining yourself. Really start examining. Because at that point, like, you've hit a brick wall in life.
Yes.
To the fact of maybe you're afraid to grow in a different way, which is okay. Like, that's all right to be afraid of change, people.
Yes.
The main thing is, much like anybody with an alcohol problem, you got to admit that you're afraid to change. That's the first step, is admitting.
Well, this is like a game I play with myself now, is trying to find things I've never questioned, right? Because this is what we're all doing, is running around not aware that we haven't questioned this or that aspect of our experience, our life, our personality, you know, our past, what we think we're heading for in the future, you know, what's going on in the world around us, society, politics, everything. And when I find something, I love it. I'm like, oh yes. Like, now I get to see, like, where were my blind spots? This is actually really cool for me. And I know not everyone is like that. And like you said, it's okay to be scared of it. It's okay to not feel really excited about it. Like,
not everybody's okay with going to therapy, Lindsay.
No,
you know, like, you gotta be ready to look in a really cracked and filthy mirror. Mm-hmm. And be ready for what's looking back at you, you know, and not everybody's ready for that.
No, and they say that's actually one of the most terrifying experiences for most people, is that moment when you truly see yourself for what you actually are, and it's never what you expected.
And I mean, hey, don't get me wrong. Like, I spent a lot of time in my life doing a lot of good things for people. Teaching all kinds of stuff. But man, I wrecked the hell out of my life. Like, just wrecked it. Like, running around swinging a baseball bat for no good reason while I was doing that.
Yes.
You know, so, and I mean, that's the example, folks, is you can be on the right path doing things and helping other people. Doesn't mean you're treating yourself right.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, it's really true.
And believe me, like, those were the times that I had my experiences with shadow people at the end of my bed, with incubus type experiences, succubus type stuff, all kinds of things. But those were things that I let in and that I allowed to happen, Lindsay. And the whole reason I brought up this clearing, a lot of people may be like, Chris is pretty good about staying on topic. When are we going to get to astral travel? the whole reason I bring this up as a presupposition to our conversation is because you got to be careful. You got to be careful when you're doing things like astral travel, when you're trying to get to that next barrier, because you're not necessarily leaving a window open, but you're definitely poking your head through things.
Yeah, no, and this is, I warn the exact same thing, and it's absolutely true. You know, when you do have an entity attachment or dark energy or your own created, you know, psychological experience of darkness, all of those are stemming from your personal experience, your personal truth, and your personal makeup. Like you said, you know, when I've had my own demonic attacks, encounters, and experiences with these dark entities, it has been because of my own psychological failures, let's say, my harms, my traumas that were unhealed. Sure. And if I didn't have those left open as doorways, those things couldn't have come in. And now I luckily have healed enough and such that I can not only keep all my own doors closed and control who and what comes through, but I can also then help other people do that. And that took a long time. It took a lot of work. And it really is, you know, people don't expect when they're working with me a lot of times, I think, for it to be so much like therapy, where it's like, nope, yeah, here's this trauma. You're going to have to face this and fix it if you want to really truly stop this from ever happening again. And so that people tell me, like, are you sure you're not a therapist? I'm like, well, not a traditional one anyway. No, and a lot of the spiritual work. Yeah. A lot of the spiritual work I do does look like that. But especially with astral travel, then it's exactly the same. If you go out into this dimension, let's call it, and you're fully present there and cognizant there, you can do all kinds of things. You can see, you know, just the levels of the what we call the real world, three-dimensional reality, and you can experience all sorts of aspects of that. You can encounter real people, real, you know, what you might call ghosts or people who have passed on. You can encounter all kinds of different various levels of entities in that space, and you can encounter your own projections and your own creations, and you can allow in your own, you know, your mental and your emotional is not quite as whole and healed as you thought. You can allow a lot of things to happen that you didn't necessarily think were possible or that you could have done, you know, and it's the same thing as what's happening here in our present, you know, awake and aware reality. It's just a different clarity and level of it. And it's a different sort of vibration of it. And so anything that you can experience here, you can experience there. So if all of we were just talking about was these ways that you can, through your own trauma and sort of weaknesses, you know, unintentionally allow these things to attach to you and attack you, if you can do that here, you can do it there. So I don't suggest to people when they tell me, I want to go, I want to astral travel, I want to learn how, I say, that's fine. But first learn how to protect yourself and how to be really safe, because I don't like to scare people, but I want people to know the risks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there was a turn of phrase that we had in the seminary when I was there that wherever God is strong, so is the devil. And the funny thing is, God's pretty good about announcing his presence. You know who's really not?
Yeah.
The devil.
Right.
He's not really the dude that's going to be like, hey, yo, what's up? just so you know, I'm right here.
He's much more likely to be like, no, I'm just this little kid. I swear I'm so sweet. Just hang out with me. Like, what?
You know, we say it all the time on this show, Lindsay. Like, I have a lot of books over here on my shelf, a lot of guest books, a lot of books like, hey, yeah, I've got the, you know, the Books of Solomon things like that. I've read the books of Solomon. Am I going to go out and start scribbling chalk circles on my floor and trying to, you know, summon Lamb? No.
Right.
I'm not. It's one thing to have the knowledge. It's another thing to execute the knowledge. Especially whenever you have to fully understand in your own humility that you are not that. The power to execute over that was divinely given.
Yeah.
By God to Solomon. Like, you are in control of this. Go forth. That's not the case with all of us, despite being breathed into by the divine and creation, if you want to say it that way, from the from the Kabbalistic point of view, stuff like that. But
yeah,
that doesn't mean that we can't create. That doesn't mean that we can't make, that we can't astral travel. Just that you need to be careful.
Right. It's exactly, and it's true even, you know, with the work I do. I described it earlier as being called to it, and then that's exactly my experience of it, is that, you know, God, angels, my divine guides told me, like, now it's time for you to do this. And I'll tell you, I had hesitation even then, which is hard because I want to trust, you know, and I want to be, you know, I feel so blessed to be able to receive messages at all that I don't want to ignore them. I feel like that's almost, you know, what we could call a sin. And so I don't want to ignore, but it was rough. It wasn't something that I thought that I should be doing necessarily, or that was safe. But I understood at that time, when you're called to it in this way and you're offered the protection of your angels and your guides, then that's a different story. And so I say this to people as well. If you don't feel really inspired and really called to do this type of work, it's one thing to be curious about it and want your own experiences just to sort of prove to yourself, because you have this skepticism that's natural. And I totally get that. I am the same way. I am skeptical of everything. If someone tells me they have these abilities, or, you know, I'm just like, well, maybe, maybe not, you know, we'll see. And so I get that. And you want to have your own experiences, and you want to prove to yourself these things are true. And it's true. It's a powerful time when you do experience anything that shows you that there's more going on than this physical reality. And again, you want to do it with full knowledge that good and evil both exist, and that you get to choose. You have free will for a reason. And so both sides are going to be vying for your attention and your energy. And so, you know, you have to know what you're doing and what you're getting into. You know, only go where you feel safe to tread.
Well, and let's start talking about that treading now, because, I mean, not that the caveats are not important. The caveats are hugely important. Once again, that's I try not to go with that Doctor Strange, you know, the warnings come after the spells. I try to give people the warnings beforehand, before we get into these conversations, because I've done my own dream work, things like that. And it granted, that was a little bit different than purposeful astral travel. It was much more going to sleep with the idea of finding an answer. You know, like, I was going to sleep with a task, same way as like going to the grocery store and on your walk there going, all right, man, we got butter, we got milk. We're going to get some bread, too. Those are our things. Same thing. I was going to the grocery store with intent. I was going to sleep with intent. But astral travel is kind of the step beyond that. Let's start kind of cracking the nut real quick about how to prepare yourself for that, and what the first steps are to that.
It's really different for everyone, because there are people who automatically just astral travel. And I don't even know if some of them know that's what they're doing, to be honest. You know, they've never heard of this. Yeah. They're not in the sort of woo-woo spheres. And so they just think they're having a really cool, really vivid dreams that they get to, like, do whatever they want and fly and go to the pyramids, or, you know, whatever, go out to space, who knows what. And so I think that that just happens, right? And it's the same with any spiritual skill or ability. There's just some people who are naturals. There are some people who've been psychic from the birth. You know, there's all these sorts of things. And then there's the rest of all of us who have to try and have to work at it. And so I do, you know, give a couple of options of how people can try to astral travel and start to prepare to do that. And one of my favorite methods, honestly, is hemisync. Are you familiar with hemisync?
Oh, absolutely. We talk about hemisync all the time. I am actually a binaural beat musician. I make all kinds of music with stuff like that. So, yes, we are very familiar here on this show and with this audience with the hemisync process.
Yeah, so you guys all know. And I really liked the Waves, whatever you call it, curriculum.
Yes.
The Waves, you know, that entire set of series of albums and experiences guides you step by step to, you know, how to then astral travel and astral project. And I think it's really powerful and really effective. And I don't know anyone who's tried it who hasn't then had those experiences, you know, if they're doing it correctly and have the right kind of headphones and everything and are just going along with it. So I just suggest that to people if they can afford it and if they want to and they trust it. I know there's some people who don't trust it for whatever reasons, and that's fine too. You should never do anything you don't trust.
I can perfectly understand why some people wouldn't trust it. We actively have a large targeted individual community who listens to us. When you start talking about the nefarious ways that that same exact carrier wave can be used, I can understand why some people would be like, man, I understand you're trying to get maybe like a little bit more creativity or a little bit more Delta REM sleep, you know, and that's why you're using these things. But isn't that just as dangerous a line to trod as not knowing good from evil when you're astral traveling?
Yes, absolutely. So I have trust for it because I also know, again, I have this ultimate faith because I've experienced over and over again my guides, my angels, and my ability to resist anything dark and evil. And so, you know, hopefully that doesn't ever become a blind spot. But yeah. I've so practiced at these things that that was easy for me to go into and trust. And, you know, if you don't want to do that, there's some simple ways to just become lucid in dreams, which then can project you into astral travel after that. And one easy way I love is asking yourself multiple times throughout the day, as often as possible, am I sleeping? Ooh. And you do it genuinely, right? You just ask yourself genuinely. You don't just do it like, oh, I'm just saying this and then moving on. You actually sit for a second and check in. Am I sleeping right now? And of course, most of the time you're going to say, no, I'm awake. That's why I'm asking myself this question. And I told myself to do that. I set my alarm to go off every hour on all day long to ask myself this question. Yeah, I'm awake. But you do this usually the first day right off the bat. It happens. But, you know, maybe a day or two later, you've been asking yourself and all of a sudden you ask yourself and you are dreaming and you say, oh, I am asleep. And now you can at least go lucid. Right. And so you can at least start to run, fly, do whatever you want to do in that space, which is really fun. And the first thing that happens to most people, whatever method they're trying, whether they're going lucid or going astral, is they get so excited or so scared that they pop themselves right back out of the experience.
Yeah.
And so it does take practice, right, to stay in it and to be sort of calm and just accept that this is what's happening and don't over, you know, stimulate your own mind or get really emotional.
Yeah.
Because you will pop right back out.
Yes. And it can be very easy. I remember when I first started doing my dream work, and it was the fact, the same thing, like you have to learn that you're asleep.
Yes.
And you have to learn to recognize that, whether it's like a visual cue on your hand that you give yourself, like a hand gesture, what have you. But you have to be able to cue yourself that you're asleep and be aware of that. And that in and of itself can take a little bit of practice. But once you get... The scary part is that falling sensation that a lot of people get.
Yeah, and it just wakes you right back up.
Yeah, like, yeah. Ah. And the thing is, that's kind of in a sense associated with going there. Yes.
Right. Yes, that you either usually twist to one side and sort of roll out, and either way you're sort of moving down towards what we perceive as the ground, or that falling right out of your body. And then the next thing too that often happens is when you start to move, it can be really disorienting for people because movement is totally different, right? You're not picking up one foot and moving an arm and your torso, you're just moving, and that it's just a balance you have to learn to strike between like keeping your focus and attention on some things clearly enough that you just move sort of gently towards it, or swiftly if you like swiftly. You can move anywhere in a moment if you like, and that's fine, but that can be really disorienting too, and people can try and almost like impose a physical structure on their energy body that gets really clunky. And then I had this experience really early on, you know, where I tried to move, but I was also trying to move a body, and I just started spinning out of control, and it woke me back up again as well. So there can be a few things like that you just want to know are coming and sort of think about, and you can even practice these in your mind as a visualization before you go to bed, right? You can visualize, okay, I'm going to maybe fall out of my body, and that might be kind of jarring, but I'm just going to roll with it. And then when I get into that experience, I'm going to purposely just move maybe little bits at a time by focusing on something and just, you know, expecting to float towards it or just be there suddenly. And I'm just going to visualize how that might feel and how, you know, accepting it and being calm about it. And then I'm going to visualize too, like, well, what's my goal, right? Like having a goal is also nice. I'm like, I want to go to the pyramids, right? So I'm going to visualize that. I'm going to visualize me focusing on the pyramids and then being there instantly. I'm just going to instantly fly, you know, like a wormhole opened up and just be suddenly there. And when I get there, I'm going to hope to see this or that or do that or that. And you can start to practice these things ahead of time, because just like we've shown this over and over again in actual, you know, materialist scientific studies, that visualizing something is practicing it. It's the same as actually doing it to your brain and your subconscious. So when you visualize these things, you're practicing them so that when you actually get there, you have a higher chance of staying in it and moving in those ways.
Yeah, absolutely. A prime example, one of the ways that I get myself to sleep, I can't count sheep, but I build racks. Like the racks of equipment that you see over my shoulder here in my studio, like that's what I do, is actively build racks of equipment and flip them around and start wiring them.
I love that.
And that's my relaxation. That's like my zen zone, is wiring racks of equipment. So whatever it takes you to reach that point of relaxation and release, there's really a difference between sleeping and release.
Yes. Yes.
Let's get into that real quick so that people can understand the difference between the two. And how to kind of start quieting that monkey mind that exists in all of us, as the Buddhist monks would say.
Yeah, it is really different, like you said, and it's really smart to point this out to people. And this is why a lot of people will find that they might just not be able to astral travel or do this type of experience, because often trauma or this level of mistrust or fear is just not going to subside, right? And so that can happen, and that's okay. And this is actually one of the things, going back to what we were talking about earlier, the more you heal yourself of all of your emotional, mental, and even physical maladies and traumas, the more likely you're going to be able to have these types of experiences more clearly and purely. And honestly, the more likely you're going to be able to protect yourself during these experiences. So it's just very smart to know that. And if you are having a lot of trouble, this might be the reason, right? You might have an emotional reason like fear or mistrust. You might have some mental, like that monkey mind that's just keeping you reeling and reeling through this past and future, you know, and not being in the moment. And you might have some physical things going on. And we can't get into deep sleep, for example, most of us, if we've got amphetamines or caffeine or any of these sort of uppers that are somewhat prevalent in our society, it's going to be a lot harder. It's going to be a lot harder if we've got downers, you know, if we're taking like NyQuil PM or like that's not going to help you much, right? And if you're not kind of eating in a way that your body can be at rest when you're sleeping and feel calm and not disturbed by digestion, like there's all these things to think about too, and being hydrated and all of that. So really, it's like anything. The healthier you can be all around, the more likely you're going to be able to have these really good experiences and that pure release, like you say, because you really are, it's a trust that's at a subconscious level that you know that you can experience these types of things just like you would day to day, walking around outside, seeing the sunshine, smelling the flowers.
While literally in your most vulnerable state that you could ever be.
What a contradiction, right?
Like we were saying earlier, all of this frames within the world of therapy, you know, because until you're comfortable with yourself, are you going to be comfortable enough to release?
That's
the question.
It's very true. And you're, again, I worked for how long? Decades to develop relationships with my angels, my guides, my allies. And so I have this deep trust and this deep faith, you know, with God and with all of these different aspects that I work with. And so whenever I have any type of experience, it's very easy for me to be in complete trust and release because I don't have fear, because I've seen how powerful they are and how even if something wanted to come and focus on me or attack me, I have much more powerful allies than I could ever be. And I think a piece of this too, for me, that maybe we could talk about now too, is that I don't even choose to astral travel or do anything like that anymore, unless I am guided to or asked to. And then I don't even really have to try because it's being kind of managed for me almost, right? My old experiences of having done it are there. And so there's that experience, but it's like most of what I do now in any kind of healing or spiritual work, I do it because I was asked to or called to. And that is also the safest way I think you could do anything, because now you know for sure there's something bigger and powerful than you on your side the entire time.
Indeed.
Which, I mean, I'll also say we all do have that around us. As much as we've kind of talked about the negative and the dark, we're much more surrounded by what you would call the light and the good. And they're always there, whether you know it or not. So, you know, count yourself blessed. You're surrounded by love.
Absolutely. And, it's the sad fact that, unfortunately, one cup of bad is 10 times as massive weight-wise is 10 cups of good. You know, it's kind of horrifying in that, right? Like, all it takes is one negative thing to destroy an entire process of manifestation.
Yes.
Quite literally. It's like playing Jenga in the universe. and with that in mind, I know that we only have you for about another 15 minutes or so, Lindsay. Let's start explaining to the audience real quick, because of course astral travel, like we said, can be used for so many things, and you don't even use it that much anymore,
right?
And it's mainly because there's with it comes a realm of responsibility and a realm of, I guess, really accountability also.
Yeah. And risk.
Yeah.
Right. Like we said.
Yeah.
So I'm at the point now where I know I've satisfied my curiosity long, long ago. I know these things are real. And so I don't need it for myself. And if I'm not, you know, going out there with a purpose and you know, maybe on the behalf of others, then there really is no point to it. One of the last astral experiences I had, I was, you know, with a cast of entities. And at the time I don't know. Are they good? Are they bad? Like, I was not very good at this whole thing of understanding. And maybe we can talk about that too, of how to know what is good or bad.
Yes.
But I didn't really have that. And I was just kind of stunned into trust. Maybe I was like, I guess we're doing this now. And we went on some sort of a craft, and we went far, 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 far out into space. And we went so far, so fast that I really understood there was nothing anywhere where we were that could even be remotely close to humans on Earth understanding at that point in time, or most of them at least, of what the universe actually was. And we went so far out, and they said, look out this window and, you know, see what's out there. And I looked, and they said, this is everything. And I was like, everything? And they're like, yeah, this is what you call the universe. This is everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is crazy. I was like, how big is this? They're like, you wouldn't have an ability to understand that, you know, if we told you. And at the center of everything was what looked like a giant blackness. You know, maybe it's a black hole is maybe what it is. And there's light around it shining from it, but it was definitely this dark, almost emptiness. And on either side, everything exploded kind of like a figure eight, and in both directions, equal and opposite to each other. There was just light and stars and clusters and colors and glowing and everything. And it was so beautiful. And I just took my breath away. And I don't know how long I just stared at it, just wondering and looking at different details. And they said, look, you live over here. It was very far on what I was perceiving as the right side of things, over to the right. And very far out into that figure eight, you know, towards the wider end, they said, that's where you live. And then we started rushing back that direction. And then eventually, like, after going deep in that direction, we finally got to, you know, the Milky Way. And then we got down to finally Earth. And that's how far back we had gone. And a lot else happened on that experience. But I just look back on that and I think, I don't need anything else. Like, I was shown literally the universe and where I live in it, and a whole lot else. And so those experiences are powerful. Think it can be like a drug for some people, yes. You know, where they are then addicted to this, what they perceive to be power and what they perceive to be this unlimited realm of pure information. You can find anything, know anything, find anyone, and you can get lost in that. And I don't think that's what we're here for. And so I think it's good to have those experiences. I think you can use them for so many good things. And I think it's good to have some balance with it as well, and a whole heap of discernment.
Well, and you know, it's kind of like those that explore Wicca and witchcraft, and end up going down a route of power seeking. And it's sad and it's scary when you see it happen to people that you know. One of the things that we've talked about on this show for the last many years was the Coven of Witches that tried putting a curse on Donald Trump before the 2016 election. And it's like, do you ever think that maybe all that madness was your fault?
Yeah.
Because you tried doing it again at the end of his presidency.
Oh, God.
Like, you didn't even learn your lesson the first time.
Well, they probably have so much hubris that they don't even consider what you just said.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, how did you just forget that threefold teaching?
Yeah.
How did at what point did you forget rule number one, do no harm?
That's
even the same thing with astral travel. Like you were saying, let's definitely start getting into that discernment and distinction. Because it's hard to do that. Even in your everyday life, when you meet somebody, whether they're a friend of a friend or somebody, you know, just on the city bus, what have you, that realm of discernment of how trustable is this person? I was one of those people that I learned later in life what a blessing it was that people just trusted me.
Yeah.
For some reason, like to this day, one of my very good friends, we laugh and laugh about the fact that the first night she met me, it was like she was in confession.
Yeah.
And she was like, I am, you know me, I am one of the most guarded people in the world. I know. I don't know what it is. Like, strangers in the grocery store will just start telling me the most intimate things in the world.
Yes.
And it's strange. But it's also a huge realm of responsibility. Something that I didn't realize until later in life. It was a huge realm of responsibility to have. Because it is a gift for people to trust you in that way.
Absolutely.
How do you get to the point of trust within yourself and trust of the discernment of these entities that you run across during astral sessions? Lindsay?
Yeah, it's a great question. And there's so many tips. And I teach classes actually about this too, about discernment and protection, and especially in these spaces. But that trust, like you describe, I mean, that's the gift of a natural healer and teacher. And I have the same experience in my life too, where people who I do not know will just come up to me and we'll start talking and they will tell me everything. You know, and I always get that, like, you're a really good listener and you're very trustworthy. And thank you. Like you said, it's a huge honor and it is a responsibility and it is a gift. Yeah. And to be able to use that for good is amazing and beautiful. And people's downfall usually lies in a couple places. And one is where we just don't see it coming, right? And we see this a lot of the time with serial killers and all kinds of psychopaths, where people just say, well,
nice guy.
Such a nice guy. Yeah.
Fed my dog when I was away. I don't know what he fed him, but he fed my dog.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you have to really get yourself to the place where you see that evil exists. And there's just most people aren't there because they are good. Why, if they're so good, how could evil be so dark, right? Or why would anybody be this dark? And so we have to get past that, being really good people and not expecting it. We have to expect it. We have to say, yes, evil exists, and it exists at every level, right? It exists in the spiritual and then the physical and the human and the animal. It exists everywhere you can find it. Life, basically, it is where it's going to exist. And so once you know that's true, you then don't want to fall into that paranoia or just trying to see it everywhere or thinking that it exists everywhere, right? That's also not helpful.
That's right.
But you do want to do, it's almost like that question, am I asleep right now? You know, that you're going to ask yourself and genuinely check in. You want to ask that of every person, every being, every entity that you encounter. Is this person okay? And you really check in with yourself. And all humans have the ability to sense that type of energy. Whether we know it or not, or trust it or not, is a different thing. Whether we can choose to use it or not is a different thing. But we all have it. And we've all experienced at the very least this feeling of, you know, walking into a room or maybe meeting someone for the first time and just not sitting right, just feeling like, I don't really like this person. I don't really want to be around them.
Well, I don't need to be here right now.
Yeah. Turn around and leave right now.
I gotta go.
Yep. Exactly. And you trust that and you start to then check in with that on purpose and develop it. And you can practice, right? You can sit in your home and you can practice.
Absolutely.
You can say, who's someone we know for sure is evil? Okay, let's say Hitler, right? We'll sit and put Hitler's face in your mind, unfortunately. Say his name out loud and see where the energy is in your body. See how it feels physically. See how your emotions change.
Oh, yeah.
See how your mind starts to change, right? And then do the opposite. Say, let's say Jesus or something, right? We're going to hold Jesus in our mind and really feel that. Where do you feel that? How does it feel? What does it, you know, seem like to you? And you can start to train yourself to use those, and those skills are all with you when you're astral traveling as well. They don't go away. Even if your physical body goes away, you have that feeling. That feeling feels physical to you right now. That's actually in a spiritual, a psycho-spiritual sense that you have, and it goes with you everywhere you go. So you could be astrally traveling, and you could see something that seems like a person or a plant or any sort of, you know, any level of cognition. You can ask yourself, is this thing good? Is it bad? Is it neutral? And you can feel that answer. And if you want to go further, in my own shamanic training, you know, I was trained to ask, are you good, true, and beautiful? Do you serve the highest good? And my experience, and this is controversial in a lot of other people's experience, my experience in the astral and in the spiritual and in the ceremonial spaces is that those things cannot lie. They can use all the tricks, just like politicians do, to avoid answering directly or avoid really telling you. But if they're giving you information, they cannot lie to you. And so I ask, are you? And if they don't answer, I just avoid, I leave, I block them out, and I'm gone from them. They're gone from me.
How much of that how much of that deception is of our own doing then, Lindsay? Whenever an entity, let's say, you know, quote, lies to us.
Yeah. Well, this is.
How much of that deception is them lying, or how much of that deception is us
wanting
what they're actively saying?
Yeah. Well, this is a great point, and I'm glad you said that because I wanted to bring it up. And I have a perfect example of an entity that was attacking me, a demonic energy. And when I first encountered it, I was very, very new to all of it. I was very unsure. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, that's evil. My first instinct was, this is evil and dark and horrible. But then I thought it started morphing into the shape of a little girl, and it started glowing. And I thought, oh, it isn't evil. It's just a little girl. It's a ghost. And she just needs to go to heaven or whatever. Trust she needs me. To go to the afterlife. Yeah. Trust and me. I feel this now, and I understand it now. And at the time I didn't, that this was playing to my ego and my bias. My bias is that children are good, right? So therefore, yeah. Anything looking like a child is good. It's not true. These things can appear however they want. And so if it wants to appear as a child, it can. That doesn't make it good, right? And then my ego was saying, oh, you're special, Lindsay. You can help ghosts go to heaven. So sure. This was playing on that ego. Like, you're special. Look at you. This ghost came to you because you can do this thing. So dangerous. It's so dangerous to think that we are this power energy of any of our spiritual skills. It is, like you said, that spark of God or that, you know, internal light. That's true. That's the channel for it. But the source that it comes from is beyond and above us. And we can almost not even understand or describe it. And yeah. to take claim of that and to take that into your ego yeah. and say, I am special and powerful is a very dangerous place to stand. And that thing yep. wanted to play on that part of me that was weak enough at that point in my life to say, I'm so special, look at me. So those yeah. two things are very dangerous, right? My bias and my ego. And that's true for all of us.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can even say that the experience that I tell people all the time is why I have this show, why I've had people like Sev talk on, who wrote the book, You Have the Right to Talk to Aliens. She's yes. had her own experiences. You've had yours. I had mine, oddly enough, at the altar.
Oh, wow.
And was called to go serve. Much like I was called to serve, I was also called to leave. Kind of with the voice of, Johnny, thanks for playing. What are his parting gifts? but at the same token, the same feeling that I had, and that's what confused me for years, was that the same feeling that I had that called me to come experience called me to leave.
Yeah.
And that's a hard reality to face. It's a hard reality to face for a lot of people. That same sensation can be tied to two such polar things, which are really both still asking me to come experience both.
True.
It took me years to realize that. It took me years to realize a lot of the things from that year, a few years even after of the experience of that. But it is specifically because of that singular moment in my life that I have done so much and that I trust so much. When I have that same feeling, like right here behind my rib cage, where it's like somebody's tied a kite string,
yeah,
and they're pulling, I do not question that.
Yes,
in any way, shape, or form, I do not. I follow it like a muscular response. Mm-hmm. I don't doubt it. I don't question it. I know exactly what it is now. Once I get to wherever I'm at, we'll evaluate the situation and figure right. out why I was pulled there. be it to help somebody or to help somebody get rid of something, what have you. But it is because of that that I have these conversations with people. It's Absolutely. Because of that experience that I'm willing and ready to experience other things and open to the experience, because had I not been open to what that was, who knows where my life would be.
Right. Well, and you have that depth of experience now and, you know, that genuine process, like you said, of, you know, it's taken years to sort of understand some of it and put it in place and to get to that level of trust. That is something that I think people should think about, too. There's a lot of people out there who have an experience and it might be even the first. And then they just go running and screaming to everyone. Look at this. Now I know. Here's the thing. This is the truth. And I feel like anybody who's out there really loudly screaming to you that they know for an absolute fact that this is the truth and that you should follow them, or you should just question that. And you
science
should go,
or not. Science
right,
or not.
Exactly.
When anybody decries absolute, begin the questioning.
Absolutely.
That's just a huge point of question in my mind. And once again, like we said earlier, if you're not questioning, are you still alive?
Right. So keep questioning. And then, like you said, though, those of us who have had these experiences over and over to such a level that, you know, all our personal questions have been answered. And we do have this deep internal empathic, psychic, soul level trust. Sure. That's where faith really comes in for me. And it's not the faith of like, I've chosen this religion and so I put my faith in it. It's a faith of I have experienced it on a soul level, on an internal, intrinsic level. Every fiber of my being understands this truth, and it's ineffable. I can't necessarily always explain or describe it to someone, but I know my faith, which I don't have to have anything but inside of myself for myself, is unshakable. And I've had people say to me, you know what you need is you need some faith. And I just laugh. I was like, I think I have more faith than most people ever get to have. Yeah. And I feel so blessed for that, to know on such a level and to have such trust.
Yeah, precisely. And at the same time, much like any knowledge with a capital K or truth with a capital T, that can become burdensome, you know. Especially if you're not used to bearing that weight or that, I guess, magnetic draw from the world around you. And as you become more adept with these things, that magnetic draw tends to increase.
Yes.
The people coming to you to find out what changed tends to increase. What advice do you give people to, be able to cut off and remove, not necessarily cut off, but remove, because cut off, I think, is dangerous, Lindsay. I myself am trying to find a path back to a lot of things that I were once the ease of breathing or taking a shower for me that are now like I'm trying to run a spiritual marathon.
Yes.
trying to attain. And it's not a fact of age. It's a fact of brother didn't flex that muscle for a long time and chose not to.
Right. Atrophying.
literal atrophy from, you know, I can't put it any other way than running from obligation.
Yep. Yeah. No, and I totally understand that, too. And I've had my own level of that. And I always, you know, I had this shamanic experience in
Ecuador.
Well,
if I don't admit it, I can't change it. So,
yeah, well, I had this shamanic experience in Ecuador that I didn't intend. This shamanic leader just pulled me out from walking by on the sidewalk and said, you and I need to talk. Come into my office. And we went and we had this talk, and he ended up performing this profound healing on me that I really desperately needed. Actually, he taught me a lot, and it was very synchronistic and beautiful. And one of the things he said to me that played out the next day in an exceptional way that just underscored everything he had said. So he said, well, what are you doing next or something? Or what's your next step? What's your next plan? And I told him, you know, our travel plans. And he started laughing and laughing. And I said, what's so funny? And he said, oh, you still think you get to plan? And he just laughed and laughed. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you'll see. I said, okay, that sounds nefarious, but we'll see. And the very next day, I had this experience of my whole day being twisted and turned around in ways I couldn't have foreseen, and really frustrating ways. And the whole day just kept failing, going wrong. And by the end of the day, I came to this spot in this city I'd been in one day. I walked around a corner, and all of a sudden, this scene played out. And it was exactly the scene from a dream I had had a year and a half before. I'd completely forgotten the dream because I have tons of dreams and, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean anything to me. But all of a sudden, this was the dream. Walked into the dream. Yeah. Walked into the dream. There was helicopters flying over. There was a huge crowd of people suddenly in a parade that was blocking this freeway. They were waving rainbow flags. It just, the dream made no sense because I was like, why is there helicopters and rainbow flags? And like, what is this? But when I'm here now living it, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is that dream. This is that really weird dream I had. And then I just knew if I run down this block and I turn left and then I turn right, I'm going to see this white church and it's going to have a fountain in front of it. And I ran down the block and I turned left and I turned right and there was a white church with a fountain in front of it. And I sat down at this fountain and I looked in the water and I heard that shaman's words from the day before saying, you still think you get to plan. You know, this a year and a half before, but I was in a situation in which that day I had planned to do a T. We're going to go here at this time, do this, catch this bus. Yeah. None of it happened. None of it happened, but I still ended up exactly where I was supposed to be. And so I just have this, you know, I have this intention. I have this connection with my guides and my soul, and I can put that intention out and say, hey, look, I really would love to experience this thing again. I know I stopped a while ago because of fear or because I just shirked it off or I just didn't want to go there. But I'm ready now and I really feel that. And, you know, can you help me understand what I need to do in order to get back to that? Because I really want to. And especially in this pure way, you know, where you're saying, like, I want to do this for myself, for my own healing. I want to do this for other people and for their healing. And I aim to sort of serve in this way and take that responsibility on. Then, you know, then you can find that that sort of shifts back into your life just in that way, just in that intention and that request, that genuine, you know, soul level request. And I think that's more powerful than people think. And that's kind of the heart of manifestation. But you're doing this on this sort of soul level now, you know, and so maybe you can't necessarily plan for it, but you can head towards it energetically and request it and bring it closer and closer to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, much like running any marathon, you got to run a bunch of mini marathons.
Yes.
You know, like it's regular work. And once again, the, even the stuff going on with me, it's one of those, it's just a muscle that I haven't flexed in a long time. I just got to go back and hit the gym. I know where the gym is. I know where to go get a membership, Lindsay.
Well, you know, and just like
it's not,
just
it's
like
not
that.
Like I don't know where the gym is or yes. I don't know how to like go get a membership, you know.
Excellent. Yeah, and how each machine works. And just like the gym, you know, just like that, there's going to be every possibility of testing your weaknesses, right?
That's right.
Oh, you thought you could lift this much? Well, now you have a strained muscle or so you gotta watch for those too. You know, we all do.
Well, with that in mind, before we let you go here, let everybody know where they can go to sign up for your Brighter You seminars, where they can go for Day of Brightness, for spiritual guidance from you, where they can go, of course, other than the Curious Realm store to buy your books, all that kind of good stuff. It is time for shameless, shameless self-promotion on your part.
I love it. Thank you so much. I do. I feel very blessed and lucky to be able to offer these things to people. And rogueways.org is the hub for everything. I make orgone as well. I'm very excited about these new Lotus votive holders that I'm creating that are orgone, and they're really powerful, beautiful creations. You can get custom ones as well. So those are there. All of my books are available on rogueways.org. I do tarot readings for people. I do the spiritual healing like we talked about. I do both energy and sound healing, and I do ceremony. And so there's all sorts of levels and options for people to choose from. I also do just sort of what I call a guidance session for people who might have some level of, you know, understanding and experience, but they just want to kind of bounce it off someone and see, you know, kind of check in of where they're at or where they should maybe go next. Or maybe they have no experience in any of it and they just want to know, like, well, how do I start or kind of what's going on? It can just be very flexible for people. So guidance sessions are nice. And of course, my show Rogue Ways and Middle Path are linked to there too. But One Day of Brightness event is so fun. I get some powerful practitioners and master teachers, and we get together and we just have a day that's focused on uplifting and healing ourselves. There's usually about 20 to 30 people and about 3 or 4 presenters or teachers. And it's not your normal like conference sort of thing. It's very interactive and participatory, and it's meant to give you experiences that you can directly heal from during that time, but also take with you into the future and apply to your life. So you may learn skills and abilities while you're there and have healing experiences while you're in One Day of Brightness. And finally, Brighter You is my 6-week course that I do generally in between each One Day of Brightness, which is the usually on or as close to the solstice and equinox as we can get each solstice and equinox. So this next one is March 27th. But in between those, I do that 6-week course. And it's really for people who, like we said, feel that call, feel like they are drawn to serve and to find their spiritual connection and their spiritual skills and abilities, and really learn how to open those up, how to uplift them, and how to tap in so that they can continue to grow. And what I say to people in Brighter You and in anything I do is the goal is that you don't need me, right? The goal is that eventually you leave me behind and you're just on your path and you have all the tools you would ever need in order to continue to experience whatever you experience, encounter whatever you encounter, and continue growing. And so that really is the goal in Brighter You, is that you get your whole foundation, and I'm here for you afterwards, of course, forever, but you know, you won't necessarily need me, and that's a good thing.
That is exactly what is supposed to happen. So, good for you.
Yes.
For doing so. So many times you hear about people where, unfortunately, they take advantage of folk. You do not seem that way at all. So
no, I really, my goal is to empower and uplift and release everyone to go do their thing.
Once again, everybody, stop on by. Check out rogueways.org for everything Lindsay Sharman. Lindsay, thank you so much for your time today. Please do hold the line while we close things out. While you're online checking out from Lindsay Sharman, make sure to stop on by the Curious Realm. Curious Realm is where you can find all the episodes. That is where you can find all of the store. Also, stop on by and check that out, folks. We have a great new shop with all kinds of awesome, epic Curious Realm stuff. I am running the show from a Curious Realm mouse pad as we speak. In addition to that, you can also find all the books from our guests. We have a brand new guest page, actually. Stop by and check that out. Links to all of our guest stuff. So stop on by, check it out. CuriousRealm.com/guests. Until next time, everybody. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, stay curious. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Download the official Curious Realm app and view the Knowledge Vault on our website, CuriousRealm.com. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast services, as well as YouTube, Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV through the APR TV app, available on all app markets. Curious Realm is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great content, or to become a sponsor of Curious Realm or other podcasts, visit HCUniversalNetwork.com today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. And remember, the other side is always watching.